living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to go through verses 35 to 48 this morning. Just a reminder, next Sunday is a fifth Sunday. So that's the Sundays we like our families to stay together. So there won't be upstream. The kids can stay in church and learn something from Pastor Shane, because he'll be bringing the message next week. So Luke chapter 12, 35 to 48. I don't know exactly when it was, about 10 or 12 years ago, I decided that it would be a good idea to try to run the mini marathon. And so, you know, keep in mind that, you know, I'm a swimmer by nature. I mean, that's sort of in my blood. And in my experience, swimmers aren't very fond of running. So, you know, needless to say, I thought, you know, running the mini marathon would be a good idea. So I started to run, and I found out I liked running. You know, I kind of like getting out there in the elements, even in the cold weather, trying to put miles on my body, trying to go faster than I had gone before, trying to work this training schedule to get me ready for the race. I even did some warm-up races, you know, and these are just races that are shorter than the mini, but they're just there to get you ready, get you used to how race morning goes, you know, there with all the people and just everything you need to do, warming up and all that stuff. And really, those are just a lot of fun. But in every one of the races, along the way, there are these aid stations where they've got liquid that you need, water and Gatorade, that kind of stuff. And these are not a place that you stop, but it's just something that you can grab that's wet and cold to help you keep going. And then along the race course, there's people shouting encouragement. You can do this. You can make it. You will make it. You're closer to the finish line than you were the last mile. All that to help their perseverance. Well, today in the scriptures, we've got some help for our perseverance in this marathon that we're running called the Christian Life. And I really hope that they help you today keep going. So let's read chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left the house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act accordingly to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. It is life for us. It is breath. We are hungry to receive it today, you know, especially as we think about our lives and the pursuit that we have of you in our life. And I do pray, Lord, that these words from Jesus would encourage us to go another day being faithful, being watchful. So, Lord, stir us up. Stir us up. Strengthen us for what's going on today. Help us, Lord, as we press on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there in the first five verses, we find the first help for perseverance. So you're running by. We're running by. We're going to slow down just a little bit. We're going to grab a cup of water right here. It helps to be faithful in watching. Jesus said in verse 35, stay dressed and ready. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for a bridegroom to come home from a wedding feast and be ready to welcome him. Be ready to let him in. You don't want to leave him standing out there in the cold with his new bride. You know, so wedding feasts back in the day, they lasted well into the night. So never knew when it was going to end. So Jesus is saying, to help us persevere, it's good to remember. It's good to remember this. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's the groom in this story, and we are the men at home waiting for him to return. We're hearing the instruction to watch. Now, the promise of Jesus coming back is a hope that all believers will cling to until our life ends or this life ends. You know, we cling to that hope, and remembering his promise helps us keep watching for his return. He said in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to leave you and I'm going to go prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and take you there to be with me. His promise to come back and get us. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when the disciples are there and Jesus ascends into heaven, he right off the ground up into the clouds so they can't see him anymore. An angel shows up and says, hey, he's going to come back exactly the same way he left. He's going to come back descending through the clouds in bodily form. Now, the first time Jesus came, most of the world missed that. Almost everybody missed it, and we'll be celebrating his first coming just before we know it at Christmas. But the first time he came, he fulfilled many of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. But there's others that still haven't been fulfilled yet. And so the first time he came as a suffering Messiah. And the second time he comes, it's going to be as the conquering Messiah. So he will be back. Revelation 1, verse 17. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn him. Yes, amen. You know, I just got to read the exclamation points. You know, it's important, especially in Revelation. So those are just a few places we look to in God's word to remind us of Jesus' promise that he's coming back. Listen to these verses from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. So in those verses, you can kind of hear perseverance. You know, you're instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. You're instructed to live here in wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God. I mean, that's perseverance. That's what we want to persevere in. And that's not easy to do. We need help. So how can these words help our perseverance? How can watching help our perseverance? Well, watching keeps us prepared to see Jesus. His instructions were stay dressed with your lamp lit. Those are the two things he said in the parable. Now, dress for servants back then, you know, it was this long robe that they would have. And what they would do when they were going to work was that they would take their robe and they would tuck it up underneath them and then put it into the back of their belt so that they wouldn't be hindered in the things that they were going to do. It's just like us rolling up our sleeves, you know, so our shirts don't get in the way of us working and trying to get something done. I mean, when you want to get something done, roll up your sleeves, right? Then the lamps of the day, they were just wicks floating in little dishes of oil. And so those wicks had to be trimmed and the oil had to be replenished. And so Jesus is saying, be prepared, stay ready, I will be back. And so just like those men needed to have their dress put in order so that they were ready to work, we ought to have our lives put in order as best we can and get some things done that we know need to be done before he comes back. Is there anything in your life that hinders you from serving the Lord? That you know he wants you to do, but you've just put off doing. Things that you would want done before you see his face. Any hindrances in your life? Now, I tend to be a procrastinator. You know, like going to the doctor or the dentist. You know, I like to put that stuff off. Yeah. Paying off debt. Yeah, you do that another day. You know, having a hard conversation. Not so much. Anybody with me? Anybody do this procrastinating thing? You know, what is procrastination? It is the habit of putting off important, less pleasurable tasks by doing something easier and more pleasurable. So why do we do it? Well, it's all about motivation. We lack the motivation to just get it done. And eventually, as time pressure increases, it becomes the motivation that pushes us over the edge to do what we've been putting off doing. And so we find ourselves cramming for the test. And we're flossing our teeth before we see the dentist. We find ourselves in a crisis that could have been avoided because we procrastinated. Well, remembering Jesus is coming back can be a big help in beating procrastination in your spiritual life. So think about it. If he were to come back today, what would I want done that isn't done that I know needs to get done? What's hindering me from serving him? Maybe it's talking to somebody that you've offended. You need to humble yourself and go to them and say, I'm sorry. Maybe it's forgiving someone who offended you. You know, you're hanging on to hurt and bitterness, and you know, it's just like you need to let them be free so you can be free, not hindered. Maybe it's loving on a family member who's far from Jesus and they need to see his love and need to hear about him. You know, maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's giving up something that's hindering your life with God. You know, hurt can be a hindrance to your life with God. Stuff can be a hindrance in your life with God. Last week's message, go back there and listen to that again. Fear, worry, pride, all that stuff. Can you see anything keeping you from running the race with God? Things that need to change before the finish line comes. I want to encourage you today. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't put it off another day. Stay dressed for action. And now what about your lamp? You know, your spiritual light. How bright is it? Does the oil need to be replenished? Does the wick need to be trimmed? I mean, wouldn't it just be great if when Jesus came back, he found us on our knees talking to the Heavenly Father? Wouldn't it be just incredible that if he showed up and we had our nose in his book, like in Leviticus, or memorizing Psalm 119, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be incredible to have him come back right when you're serving somebody in his name saying, Jesus loves you? I mean, just think about that. Just think about that. What can you do to keep your spiritual lamp burning bright? Fasting, solitude, silence, celebration, fellowship, all these things help us stay lit. They help us keep watch. So to press on with Jesus, being faithful to watch, it helps. So remember his promise to return, remove any hindrances, and refresh your spiritual light. Now, there's days when watching for him is going to be really hard. You know, for various reasons, you know, we get distracted by world events and we get overwhelmed by our circumstances and we get lulled to sleep in luxury and we start to think, man, he's taken a while. Maybe he's really not coming. You know, things like that just go through our mind. It's a constant fight, constant day to day. Well, in verse 37 to 39, more help here. More help to faithfully keep watching. Jesus said in verse 37, you'll be blessed, found waiting for the master when he comes home. When you're spiritually awake and ready for service, ready to serve him, you'll be really happy he finds you in that state. And then it says something kind of surprising. Out of the ordinary, for sure, unless you know who Jesus is and his heart. And then it's very encouraging, pretty amazing. Jesus says, know this for sure, that the master's going to put on the servant clothes. And he's going to take the servants and put them around his table, and then he's going to serve them dinner. What? Yeah. When Jesus comes back, he's going to take you who've been waiting and watching and working for him, and he's going to notice that effort, and he's going to say, come over here, have a seat, let me love you. He's going to notice you, he's going to love you in a tangible way. Now, I'm telling you what, that's a reunion. And when you start thinking about it that way, it will help you be faithful in watching. I mean, just think about that. That'll be the best dinner we ever have. And then verse 38, he brings up those the master finds watching when it's really hard to watch, in the wee hours of the morning, after a long day of service. Instead of sleeping, they're fighting sleep, watching. And Jesus says, blessed are those servants, exclamation point. Blessed are those servants who are watching when it's really hard to watch. They keep fighting sleep, all because they want to see the master's face. They want to hear the master's voice. You know, there's definitely going to be days. Definitely going to be days. Sometimes weeks, months, maybe even years, when being faithful to watch for Jesus gets really hard. You know, faithful servants of God have a faithful enemy. And he is relentless. He comes after us and makes it hard to keep watch. He uses this thing called temptation. You know, and he brings it to us, tailored to our lives individually. Now, he can't read what's going on inside of you, but he can sure watch what you do in your life. And so he knows where you're weak. He knows how to get you. And so sometimes temptation comes. It's really strong. We fall headlong into sin. We fall down. Sometimes it's just relentless temptation, day after day after day. And eventually we get worn down and we just fall into it. Either way, when we're down on our knees in shame, we don't want to see Jesus' face. We don't want to see disappointment in him because of us. And so that makes it hard to watch. And it's also hard to watch when life here is just great. You know, when things are going really good here and there's stuff that we really are enjoying. In Jesus' message to his disciples last week was, hey, travel light here because stuff can consume your life and life is not found in your stuff. And so when our life is consumed with this life and things that we have and things that we're going to do, things we're looking forward to, it's really hard to keep looking up. In fact, we can even get into this pattern of thinking that, you know, yeah, I hope Jesus doesn't come back today. I really want to, you know, do this or that. Reminds me of C.S. Lewis and what he said about us in this quote. He says, "Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." He says, we are far too easily pleased. You know, I don't care how good you got it today. You know, how great life is for you today. I don't care how awesome it is, whatever it is that you're looking forward to tomorrow. I don't care. Because it does not compare to what's in store for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Nothing compares for what's in store for those that know the Lord. Now in verses 39 to 40, the illustration changes, and now Jesus is portrayed as a thief who comes at an unexpected hour when the owner is not expecting him, when he leaves the house vulnerable, and he says that he will come at an hour that we don't expect. And so we can hear this as a warning and as an encouragement. We need to live in anticipation, in expectation that Jesus could come back anytime. We need to have that. We don't want to be found unprepared to see Him and serve Him. So that's the warning, but it's also an encouragement. You know, when watching for Him to come back gets really long and hard because the miles we just ran were really hard on us. And so watching is really hard. When you can remember this, you can remember this, you can say this is true right now. Today could be the day. Today. He could come before we get out of church. And everything would be different. Remember that. Because it helps. It helps you persevere. Now, in verses 41 to 48, the shift, there's a focus there that changes. And we go from watching to working. It helps your perseverance to be faithful in working. Peter speaks up. Hey, Lord, are you talking to, you know, just us, or are you talking to everybody here? You know, explain this to us. And Jesus doesn't really answer his question, but he tells him a couple more stories. He says, a faithful, dependable, sensible servant is one that the master gives responsibility to. One over his house, where he is given the responsibility to take care of the people in his house. And he mentions food there, that he's feeding the people in the house. So this manager, this steward, has a big responsibility of taking care of everybody in the master's home. Big deal. Now the servant, he says, is going to be very happy when he finds... when the master returns and finds him faithfully doing what he was given to do. He's going to be happy. And he says, you can be sure that that servant is going to be in charge of the whole house. He's going to be given more responsibility. You know, it is always easier to persevere through a day than it is to persevere through the year. You know what I mean? I mean, when you're running a marathon and you're in mile six and you're feeling every six of those miles. And if you're thinking to yourself, I do not know how I'm going to get 20 more miles in. It's really hard to get to the finish line when you're thinking like that. But if you're thinking, I just got to get done with seven. I just got to do mile seven. And then when seven's done, can I get through mile eight? That kind of thinking have you crossing the finish line before you know it. Pastor Earl Thomas, he worked with us at Brookville Road Community Church. He had 50 years in ministry, so anytime he spoke up, we listened up You know, that kind of a guy. He always used to say this, life by the mile is one big trial. Life by the inch is always a cinch. Take it home. Take it home. It's the same. It's the same as we persevere in our race with Jesus. When we can focus in on today, the day that he has given us, the work that he has given us to do, and try to be faithful and wise and dependable in that, it helps you in your perseverance. And so a good question to ask is, what has God given me to do? What has God given me to do? Do you have a job? Be faithful in that job. Work at it like you're working for the Lord and not for men, because you're a servant of Jesus. Have that mindset when you go in to work. It changes your job. Be faithful in that. If you don't like your job, don't worry. You don't have to do it all next week. You just have to do it on Monday. Just Monday. Can you get through Monday? Can you get through one break? Can you get through Monday morning? Just one more day. Do you have a spouse? If you do, God has given you a very sacred relationship. One that is there that is to communicate a picture to a world that watches us of Jesus and his church, of how God loves unlovable people. That's one of the purposes of marriage. And to have that kind of marriage takes work. It takes a lot of investing of love and time, attention. Be faithful in your marriage. You know, if you're thinking, I can't go the rest of my life married to this person, you don't have to. You just got to do today. Can you be married to him one more day? Just one more day. Has God given you children? I can promise you there's a ministry right there that he's given you. To bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. To love them. To pour into them. Parents, it's your responsibility to do that. Not anyone else's. God's going to hold you accountable for raising up your kids. Now, you can get help. But don't ever give away the responsibility. It's your responsibility. God will hold you accountable for that. So be faithful to your kids. Do you have an aging parent? There's a ministry God has given you right there to take care of them as life gets harder and harder to move around. Take care of them. Be faithful to your parents. You know what? Is this your church home? Be faithful to your church family. There's things to do here. Investing the Word of God into kids' lives, caring for little ones, leading small groups, meeting people in their homes. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do to be faithful to your church family. Can you do it? Just a few ideas of what God has given you. How can you be wise and dependable and faithful in that work? Now, the last four verses describes the other side of the coin. And it gets a little unpleasant. This is what unfaithfulness looks like. You know, last week we heard about a rich guy who was having a bumper crop. And he was like, what am I going to do with his crop? And he's like, I know. And I'll build bigger barns so I can have a place to put it all. And then I'm set. And he said, I've said to my soul. He's having a conversation with himself. Remember, he was like, should have talked to God because you're not going to be able to enjoy that stuff. Your life's over. Well, here you find a servant talking to himself. Again, he's thinking, while the master's away, I can play. And so he ends up mistreating those in the house that he's supposed to be taking care of. He ends up being a consumer of the goods that he's supposed to be a steward of, doing the exact opposite that the master wanted him to do. And when he comes home, the master comes home unexpectedly, the guy's in big trouble. It says he will be cut in two and thrown into a pile with the unfaithful. Then there's some stuff in there about beatings. So the servant who knew what to do and didn't do it gets a pretty bad beating. But the ones who were serving didn't know what to do, but they still deserve a beating because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They get a lighter beating, a little mercy in judgment there. You know, this can be a head scratcher to try to figure out who is who and what is what. And what do we do with this information? This is my best interpretation, that believers are the faithful servants, the faithful stewards. And unbelievers are the ones who are the unfaithful servants. And the way I get there, through a lot of time talking to God about it and reading smart people, this is something that will help you. Peter's question at the beginning of this is Jesus' answer to Peter's question. And so Peter was like, is this for believers or is this for everybody? And so in answering the question, Jesus gives a description of two people's lives. And so that's one help that you get there. The other is the punishment that is described here helps us see who is who. Being cut in two and thrown into a pile of the unfaithful sure sounds, after a severe beating, sure sounds like eternal separation from God. And I believe that the Bible teaches eternal security, something we call eternal security. And so what that means is that once you become a believer, you're always going to be a believer, even if you don't always act like a believer. I believe the Bible is clear about that. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. In Romans 8:28, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Ephesians 4:30, we are sealed for the day of redemption. Not sealed for the day we mess up. Not sealed for the day we feel like we don't want God anymore, we're unbelieving. We're sealed for the day of redemption. It is God who saves you, and it was God who will get you home. Count on it. He is sovereign. He can do it. So this servant that doesn't get home, he wasn't a believer to begin with. And then the end of this is verse 48. That brings us back to faithful working here. And this is one of those verses parents love to use. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Think about what you know about God. I mean, just think about that area of your life. What do I know about him? Do you realize what an incredible gift that is to you? You have been given much. What is required of you that you have this knowledge of God? Do you know the way of salvation? Do you know the gospel? What is required of you having that information? God has given you that insight. He's given you that vision. What's required of you? How can you be faithful in working based on the knowledge of God that you have been given? What has been entrusted to you? And what has been entrusted to you? Do you have money in the bank, plenty of food in the house, clothes for every season? How can we use what God has given us to benefit the lives of others? I mean, that's what you see when you look at the two servants. And one took care of other people. He was other-oriented. And one took care of himself. He was self-oriented. And so our lives as followers of Jesus are supposed to be oriented toward others. If you gave up everything you owned in the Lord's hands, then it's available. It's available for his use, however he sees fit. And that's the work that we've been given to do. During the 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy was consistently using a story to end his campaign stump speech. It was a story about Colonel Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. One day in 1789, the skies of Hartford, Connecticut turned ominously black. And the representatives, they were all getting nervous, and they were running to the window, and they were like, the end is here. Let's get out of here. Let's adjourn. And Colonel Davenport, he stands up to quell this clamor of immediate adjournment. He says, the day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not approaching, then there's no cause for adjournment. If it is approaching, I want to be found doing my duty, faithfully working, bringing the candles. It helps in our perseverance to be faithful in working, just faithful in this day that we've got. Let's have our worship team come back up. You know that we are in a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon following Jesus. Is there any help here for your life today from Jesus' words? Things that you need to receive as encouragement, things that you need to do. Are there hindrances that you need to remove from your life? Is there some work you need to do for your spiritual lamp to get it lit, to get it shining bright? Don't wait, do it. Because when He comes, we'll be blessed, we'll be noticed, we'll be honored, we'll be lifted up, we'll be loved in a tangible way. It's going to be a good reunion. It's going to be a good reunion. And how's it going with the work that He's giving you today, to be faithful? Are you being faithful with what God has given you? Don't wait another day. Be faithful with it. And I want to close just being faithful with the work God has given me to do. And just ask some of you here to think about those two servants. You got the one who was other-oriented, taking care of his master's house, doing his master's will. He was all about getting the master's will accomplished. You got the other servant who saw, oh, God's not here. Master's not here. I think I'll do what I want. I'll take care of myself. I'll have fun. When you think about those two servants, which way would the pendulum of your life swing? Would you be more described as faithful or unfaithful? And if you think it swings more toward the unfaithful, then God is speaking to you today, and He wants you to know He loves you very much. He wants you to know His Son died for you on that cross to forgive you of your sins. And He is living today to come into your life and make you new. And then it turns into a whole new adventure of following Him. So if that's you today, as we sing this last song, just say to God, I believe. I believe in You. I want Jesus to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person. And help me walk out of here to a different life. If you pray that from your heart, God will do it. Amen. Stand. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank You for Your encouragement to us today. Thank You for the words of Jesus. Help us to cling to those as we think about, you know, what this day holds for us. We look forward to that reunion. We look forward to seeing His face and hearing His voice. In the meantime, Lord, wake us up. Help us stay ready. Give us the courage and the strength to follow things that You've spoken to our hearts today. And Lord, whatever that work is that You've given us to do, we ask for much grace and be able to be faithful in doing that today. Lord, You've given us this day. You said, don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough trouble of its own. Help us get through this day. We want to see You at the finish line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.